everyone. Welcome back. My name is Lynn Wilson, and you are here for Hope for Today podcast office. I'm so glad you're joining me. So over the next couple of podcasts that we're doing, we're going to be doing an audio podcast. So you might not see my face through the whole thing, but know that I'm right behind the camera. We are talking, so grab your coffee. I want you to get comfortable. You know, we are winding down from the spring is here into the summer. We're going to enjoy these summer months together. And God is at work. So stay tuned for some hope for today. Okay, so we are going to be looking at several verses today. Some are in Isaiah, Matthew, and Hebrews. And I talked about how God is at work, and this is going to be a two-part series. So, you know, get your notebooks out, get prepared to see what God wants to teach you today. So let's talk about a little perspective in life. Yeah, let's talk about life. So I read a really cool story. I saw it on Facebook, and it just stuck out to me in a really unique way because, I don't know, I know you guys are perfect. I say this all the time, and I know I'm the one that's not perfect. I tend to be judgy. I tend to look at something and have my own perspective on what it is or what happened or what didn't happen. So there was a story about a young couple, and they got into their apartment, and they set up house, and they had breakfast together every morning, and then they would, you know, enjoy their coffee and, you know, the chit-chat. And the one day, the wife was looking out the window, and she sees her neighbor across the street hanging up her laundry. She says to her husband, "Oh, that's terrible. Look at that, hanging up that laundry. It's all dirty. How could she put dirty clothes on the line?" And the next day comes. The next day after that, she sees the neighbor doing the same thing. About a week goes by, and she says to her husband on Friday, I'm appalled. I would never do my wash and then hang up the laundry when it's spotty and dirty on the line. Well, the next day was Saturday. They got up to have breakfast together, and she looked out, and she said to her husband, finally, she got it right. She did the laundry correctly. The spots are gone. The stains are gone, and now she's put up her clean wash on the line. And her husband grabbed her hand and gently leaned over and said, "Honey, I washed our windows yesterday. That's why there's no spots on the clothes." So moral of the story is the woman doing her laundry was doing the right thing. But because she, the neighbor, was looking through dirty windows, she saw a different perspective on what that laundry looked like. How many of us do that? How many of us look at things with the wrong perspective? I know I do. How many of us judge what's going on? How many of us judge and then create a story or a situation in our mind and maybe even share it with our friends from what we think we saw or heard? Is our perspective truth or is it just our perspective? You know, it is so easy for me to look at you and make a judgment call on what I see in your relationship with your husband or your children or what I see you looking like when you go to church or so many other different avenues. And I personally am on different platforms on social media. And as you know, I do the podcast here and I'm on another style of video presentation and my life is exposed on there. I am somewhat public where I work. People can check what I'm doing and see my face on a lot of different things. I've spoken at different churches. I tend to be out there more than most people would have their life out there. And I know how many times I get judged as to why I'm doing what I'm doing. Why am I wearing clothing? Why my makeup looks a certain way? Why my hair is a certain way? And that sounds silly when I'm explaining it. But when people come up to you and question those things, you can see that from their perspective, this is what they see. Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong. They might have very good sound advice, but we have to be careful that we're not looking through dirty windows when we look at somebody else's life and not only their life, but the things that they're doing. Here, this woman is trying to take care of her family and her home. She's diligently doing her wash while somebody else looks on judgment through dirty windows and perceives to think that her neighbor is untidy and not doing the right thing. I want to take a look at Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 4a. It says, look around you and see what is happening. I also want to take a look at Matthew 24, verse 33. Again, verse 33a. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, meaning the Lord. Then we're going to be in chapter 24 in verse 44. Let's scroll down there. And it said, so you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And then we're going to jump over to Hebrews 11. And we're going to be in verse 11. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So the Lord is returning, absolutely, 100%, without a doubt. Scripture from the Old to the New Testament, all the way to the book of Revelations, confirms that the Lord's return is at hand. But do you know the day? You know, there's been many prophets, prophetesses, I don't even know what else you would call these people, pastors, leaders, that have predicted the exact date and time of when the Lord would return. The problem is right there. That is their perspective. And that perspective is not based on truth, because the Lord says, nobody knows when I'm returning. You know, when I was a child, I had a perspective, I guess you would say, on adults. And it wasn't a high regard for adults. And I think when I was a kid, I always seemed to have a little bit more insight than most kids would at a young age. But I remembered church leadership and my parents, and maybe it was that generation, I don't know, always talked about the Lord's return as if it was a negative thing. And it would be negative. If I was not saved, it would be devastating, because I'd be spending my life in eternity in hell and not with the Lord. But it was never presented to me as this is the most magnificent thing, that the Lord is going to return. We're going to spend eternity with him. He's going to take us home to our permanent home, which is in heaven with him. But it was always presented in a very negative way. At least that's how, again, my perspective, maybe they didn't mean to do that way. I, as a child, could have looked through windows that were not clean, but the adults around me, things that I remember. Now, some of you might laugh. Some of you might remember these stories. And if you did, I would love to know in the comments below if you were caught up in these ideas, if you were a child when these ideas were out. Did you ever hear of these ideas? So things that I heard, I won't name which president, but when I was younger, one of the presidents that was in the seat, you know, current seat as the president during that time, now, this is going back, yes. Cassette tapes were passed around. And I remember sitting in a group of adults from my church, and my parents were part of this, listening to a cassette tape about this president and that he was the Antichrist. And these are the facts as to why he's the Antichrist. Well, this president, I'm pretty sure, is no longer with us. He's not our president, hasn't been for many, many years. And yeah, he wasn't the Antichrist. Then do you remember the tracks that went around and the little booklets that the planets are lining up? And I remember that going around like wildfire. Pass these out. The planets are lining up. It's the end times. It's the end of the earth. Then there was another track, and I don't remember the details, but I remember that it was saying that vultures are multiplying over in the Middle East and in Israel, and that this was a sign of the times. God's returning. These vultures were there to eat all the dead bodies. And now picture a child hearing vultures flying around and multiplying to eat dead bodies. God's coming back. Planets are lining up. Our president is the Antichrist. These are signs of the end times. Does that paint a picture that you would want to instill in your children? Not exactly. Then let's fast forward to a number of years ago, but most of you will remember the Y2K, the end of the world. None of the banks were going to know how to cross over during the Y2K. People had storehouses plus food stashed every which way. People were withdrawing money out of the banks. people were basically holding on to chairs, just holding their breath, because the clock was going to strike midnight and the end of the earth as we once knew it would be done. And I remembered, you know, I was an adult and I was married and I had children, and thinking, could this be right? All those triggers and fears that I had as a child just resurfaced. And I kept telling myself, what does the Bible say? Think on these things. This is not truth. God did not give us the date he would return. Why am I trying to predict when he would return? These are only a few things that I, you know, as I was growing up, that just was a constant state of mind that I was in, that these are the things that were, you know, always surrounding me. So whether you are a child or a person that is surrounded by more of a negative side of a good thing that God has created, what does that create in you? Well, this is what it created in me. It created extreme fear, extreme confusion, absolutely no hope. I would say I had the attitude of, why bother? Why bother living? Why bother going on? If everything's coming to an end, the earth is being destroyed, I just have no reason to move forward. And I had a completely negative outlook. So what lessons can we learn from this? Well, your perspective can create a healthy or an unhealthy mindset in those around you. You know, I'm in a leadership position in church. I'm in a leadership position where I work. I'm in a leadership position at home. I'm the mom. I am the woman of the house. I have children that look up to me. I have a husband who, even though he's the head of the house, I am the other leader of the house, and he looks to me for encouragement. He looks to me for words of wisdom or guidance or just a bright outlook for the day. You know, what is it that you are creating in your world around you? Even if you're not in leadership, people are watching. I laugh when people question things about my home as they drive by and the things that they see, or the way I look, or the person I talk to, or maybe they saw me shopping in a store. People question those things. People are looking and they're watching. And how are we carrying ourselves? Are we walking around in fear, confusion, no hope, a why bother attitude, and a negative outlook? Maybe there's a reason why you have those feelings. As I shared with you, absolutely, I grew up in it. And that is why I had that whole attitude. But you know, a little soap and water can do a whole lot. Soap and water can clean your clothes, clean your hands. It can wash down your kitchen table. And soap and water can clean windows. You know, back in the day when I was a kid, the phrase of, do you want me to wash your mouth out with soap if you said a bad word? We maybe need to get a few bars of soap for this day and age, the way people are. I want to encourage you today. So we are going to continue this next week. But I want to encourage you today to know that God is at work. We can't always see what God is doing, because sometimes our windows are dirty. Our mind is cluttered. Our thoughts are just array. We just can't see past the nose on our face. But if we go back to Isaiah 60, 40a, look around you and see what is happening. You know, these are only the name of a few things that I grew up with, along with this state of mind. And if you look at the way the world is today, many of you might still fear and be confused and feel like there's no hope and there's a lack of why bother and you have a negative attitude. I need to tell you, that's where I was until one day, you're going to hear this in part two, I found real hope for today, because God is at work. I need to leave you with encouraging words today to let you know that we're going to talk more next week about how God is truly at work in the lives of us and all around us. And we need to get out of the bubble that we're in. I think so many of us, where we live, we go to the same church, we go to the same workplace, we stop at the same grocery store, we talk to the same people. And you know what? if our windows are dirty, we're not seeing perspective clearly. And God has so much going on around us. I'm going to go back and back and back to Isaiah 64a. Look around you and see what is happening. God is at work. God did not die on the cross. And God did not allow his son, Jesus, to die on the cross just because. He did not do that just because it was a thing to do. He did not do it just for that moment in time. When our Lord and Savior died on the cross, he took every name that will ever be created to that cross. He bore the sin for all of us on that cross. There was a purpose in the Lord being a human flesh here on the earth to walk with men and women, to preach the gospel, share the gospel, teach and mold those disciples, to do miracles, perform things beyond our understanding. There was a purpose in that. There was a purpose. God said, I go to prepare a place and I'll be back. He is coming back. And the Bible says to look for these things. Look for these signs that I'm coming back. He wanted that to be an encouragement to you. Don't turn that into a negative. Wash your windows and take that verse or verses that talk about the Lord is returning and make it into a positive. He is coming back. He is coming back to take his people home with him. The rapture will take place. And all of us that are saved and know the Lord will go home with him. No, we don't know when the Son of Man will come. We don't know the hour, the day, or when to expect him. But the Lord does say, look around and see what's happening. I want to encourage you today to know there is hope. And the Lord's return is not a negative and should not be looked at it as a negative. And if that's how you feel, you need to go clean your windows today. You need to go before the Lord, tell the Lord, I need a new perspective. I need fresh, clean windows. I need to claim Isaiah chapter 60, verse 4. And I need to look around and I need to see what is happening. I need to be encouraged to know that God has made hope for today, in today. So come back next week. We're going to do part two and we're going to cover some of those things and do a little recap from this week, and then we're going to move forward and find some more hope in what God is doing with teaching us about his return. All right, thanks for coming over. We'll catch you next week on the next podcast.